going to get in our Wayback Machine, and we're going to talk about the origins of today's cryptocurrency. You know, Brett Johnson has never done a crypto episode before. I'm called the original Internet Godfather, and this does matter. What gave Bitcoin its initial use case was criminal activity. Didn't really do a whole hell of a lot with it. We need to verify your identity. Alice Costa comes out with this token called HeHe. The only f***ing reason that it is valuable is because of Alex Costa. Hey, Alex, you know, this thing's already sitting at a $40 million plus market cap. What the f***? 130? F***ing idiot. Tokens are valuable because they're agreed upon to be valuable by the opinions of others. If you don't understand that there are predators in the water, both legal and illegal, you are going to lose your ass. That little motherfucker is spewing everywhere, and you're gooning to porn all goddamn night. Please, dear Lord, this is a game of predator-prey. This is typically a game of pump and dump. Cryptocurrency is a highly unregulated industry. You are not buying technology. You are not buying innovation. You are not buying utility. You are buying people's opinions. Johnson, former United States most wanted cyber criminal, now good guy and host of the Brett Johnson Show. I think we're going to go with this voice just for a little bit because Shayna, not 3 minutes ago, Shayna said, I doubt you'll do the entire episode of that voice. And I was like, well, by God, you should try me because I'm ready to belly the fuck up. So this episode today, this episode today is on crypto. Currency. You know, Brett Johnson has never done a crypto episode before, and I think, by God, today's the day. So we're going to do some cryptocurrency episodes today. Before we get to that point, I hate them all.
They ain't no f***ing way. You don't want to hear about this bullshit.
Bitch, moan, and complain. You are full of poo. That's right. We've now made it a regular type of thing because you know why the hell not. First thing I want to bitch, moan, and complain about is this guy that I've got downstairs right now working on the kitchen. That's the first thing I want to complain about. Now, here's the deal. October 2nd of last year, my father passed away. Now, he passed away a week after that. In my remorse, in my depression, in trying to get over it, I decided I was going to redo my kitchen. That's right. Decided I was going to do the kitchen. Now, this house is a 1968 house. It's been around for a while. So I was going to redo the kitchen. Wanted, like an idiot, like a fucking idiot, I decided I wanted to save some money. So what did I do? I reached out to the same guy that I had that built the deck, the back deck on the house here. Now, I'll tell you something. Back deck should not take 3 months to build. It took this guy 3 months to build. He went and got some, I'm not going to say Mexicans. He went and got some itinerant workers that hang out down at the service station. I shit thee not. That's exactly what he did. They did a good job. Now, I will grant you they did a very good job, but they took 3 months to do it. I'm guessing they were worried about Trump building that fucking wall. So I wanted to save some money on the kitchen because I had people that were saying, you know, it's going to cost you $30,000 to remodel your kitchen. I'm like, fuck, I don't have $30,000. And if I did have $30,000, I wouldn't want to spend $30,000 on a fucking kitchen remodel. But I said, I'll save myself some money. Me and my wife talked it over, and Brett, in an instant of the fucking idiot syndrome, decides, he looks at Michelle and he says, what about the guy that did the deck? And she looks at me like I am that fucking idiot. But she calls him, and he gives us a good price. That was the second week of October last year. The kitchen is still not finished today. I'm not sure if you guys have seen that Tom Hanks movie Money Pit, where they keep telling him and a woman, two more weeks.
2 weeks?
Really?
2 weeks.
2 weeks?
How long will the job take?
2 weeks.
2 weeks?
2 weeks?
It's a lot longer than two more fucking weeks. Today, he's down there working because I have bitched, moaned, and complained by text, by phone. I rounded up two carrier pigeons that I sent them in his general direction in hopes that they would get the message. And he's down there working today. I expect it's going to take another damn month. I want to warn anybody out there. Please take it from me. The lessons learned from me. Sometimes when you're trying to save money, it ain't fucking worth it. Pay the extra money, get the job done in 3 to 4 weeks, and be fucking done with it. I mean, there's so much to complain about. So much to complain about. I think we're going to carry on, because... I think we're going to carry on.
You don't have to do the voice the whole show, Brett. It's okay.
Are you sure? Because I don't mind.
No. You can go back to the voice.
All right, so Shayna doubted that I would do the show, the voice. I will. I'm more than willing to do that. I'm more than willing. I think I can sustain. I think it may, as the show goes on, kind of morph into this Hispanic Russian gangster type of character. I'm not sure. But it very well might, because that's this way this shit works. So what else to bitch about and complain about? I don't know, guys. I mean, I know that Pornhub decided to withdraw from Texas, I think is what it
was.
Texas.
They pulled out.
They practiced that so no one gets pregnant in Texas. So here's the thing. In case you parents didn't realize out there, little Billy, who you give that iPhone to at 12 years old, that little motherfucker is as busy as a spider monkey in his bedroom watching whatever type of fucking porn he's got to watch. He doesn't care about any age verification bullshit that's going on. That little motherfucker is just spewing everywhere. I'm just saying. Texas, in their infinite wisdom, say, we don't want porn. Do you think that shit's going to work? And let's be honest, Pornhub is not really even that good. Where are you going to find midget? I'm sorry. Where are you going to find short people porn? You ain't. Where are you going to find burka porn? You're not on Pornhub. I'm sorry. It's out there, but you ain't going to find it. So, I say good riddance to Pornhub. Pornhub, get your act together. We need shorter people on there. We need burkas on there. And maybe we need some of these limbless people on there too, because they deserve love too. I'm just saying. Moving right along, let's talk about some shit from the headlines. From the headlines, why don't we talk about Mississippi today? That's right, Mississippi, because one thing you can say about living in Alabama, like I do, at least it ain't Mississippi. What am I talking about Mississippi today? I'm talking about the Goon Squad. The Goon Squad. Turns out that, I don't know if you guys realize this or not, but there are still, in the United States, there are still racist people in the United States. And sometimes these racist people get jobs of authority in power someplace, especially in Mississippi. So it turns out in this town in Mississippi, they had this police squad called, they called themselves the Goon Squad. Now, here's the thing. I'm not talking about goons as in you've done a lot of methamphetamine or cocaine or whatever, and you're gooning to porn all goddamn night. I ain't talking about that. I'm not talking about goons like that hockey movie where that some bitch goes in and he's the enforcer all the time. Whatever his damn name is. Sean William Scott, whatever. Great movie. Watch it. Meth. Stay away from it. I'm talking about these guys, these cops. They were called the Goon Squad because they did not mind using excessive, and I mean excessive force. In fact, if you went so far into excess, they had their own little challenge coin that they gave out to their little fucking members. So what happens is, January of last year, Mississippi cops, they get this phone call.
There's these two very suspicious-looking
African-American individuals in this white lady's home, I think you guys need to check it out.
These six fucking cops show up at this house. Turns out the two African-American guys, they're not breaking the law. They're not suspicious. They're simply caretaking the lady that's inside of the house. Well, here's the thing. You're in Mississippi. They frown on that bullshit in Mississippi. So what do? They proceed to torture and sexually assault. That's right. That's right. Bear that shit in mind. They torture and sexually assault these two African-American individuals. They tested tasers on them. As to who had the strongest taser, as who got the best shot on these guys. Finally, after all that bullshit, one of the cops takes his service revolver, pistol, I guess it's a pistol. I don't fucking know. Glock, whatever they carry in Mississippi. Who knows? He sticks the pistol in one of the black guy's mouths, pulls the trigger. It goes off. It severs the guy's tongue. It breaks his jaw. Over a year later, this guy is still learning to talk. Then what'd they do? Well, they erased the police camera footage. They turned off their own little, you know, they've got the cameras on their bodies. They turned that shit off before they started because they knew where that shit was going. Erased everything, tried to cover it up from that point. Well, hard to cover shit like that up. Recently, these six officers were sentenced, rightfully so, to federal prison. One of them got 40 years, one of them got 10 years, the other one's got 27 and stints in between that. Now, here's the thing. I go to bed every single night. Every single night. And I pray to dear Lord baby Jesus. Now, here's the thing, too. Let's stop and just wait just a second now. All right. My Jesus, and I ask people this question frequently. How do you picture your Jesus? Do you picture your Jesus as Buddy Christ from like the Dogma movies where he's like, do you picture Jesus on the cross bleeding and atoning for our sins? Do you picture him taking care of the meek and the sick? Or do you picture him like I do as little baby Jesus? That's how I picture him. And I think that the way that we picture Jesus says a lot about our lives. So anyway, back on point. Every night I go to bed and I say my prayers to the dear Lord baby Jesus. And typically those prayers often involve Jesus calling home someone that I don't like. No, I don't wish death on people. I don't. But I do wish that sometimes Jesus would call them home early so that they could, you know, enjoy him in his bosom like that. So what I'm going to do tonight with the Goon Squad, and I've been doing this for a few nights now, is I go to bed, and as I'm saying my nightly prayers to dear Lord baby Jesus, I'm like, dear Lord baby Jesus, please, please, dear Lord, as these sumbitches of the Goon Squad are serving their time behind the fence, behind the wall, and incarcerated with many, many African Americans who they obviously hate, please, dear Lord, baby Jesus, let them experience your wrath through their mighty, mighty hands, Jesus. Please, and please make sure that they never get out so they may not copulate or proliferate their seeds. Please, Lord, please let this happen. I will tithe, oh Lord. I will do whatever. I will even go to church. That's my prayer. I hope it happens. More than anything, I really hope that these son of a bitches get every single thing that they absolutely deserve. And here's the thing. American people, we are not a bad people. We are not. We're not. But we've been taught over time that we need to watch out for ourselves. When you don't get involved with bullshit is when you get some cop up in Minneapolis that stands, that puts his knee on some guy's throat for 7 fucking minutes. That's what happens when you don't get involved, when you don't speak up, when you don't do the right goddamn thing. It's not just these six cops. It's not just Mississippi. It's not just the South. It's not just Alabama. It's nationwide. It's worldwide. We need to get to the point where we're taking care of each other because, again, we are not. I truly believe this. We are not bad people. But when we fail to speak up, when we fail to do the right thing, to call out the wrongdoing, to let this shit like this go on, we are no better than the people that are doing it. That's truly my belief. Now, I've joked a lot this morning, but that's truly my belief. And I'm probably going to continue to joke, but I had to have a sobering fucking moment there for a minute. We're going to close that out. Am I going to close that out? Let's carry on just one more minute, because, you know, I served 7.5 years in prison. 7.5. And I saw a lot of law enforcement that truly did the right thing. That, you know, they did not have a grudge against the inmates. They did not want anyone to suffer any more than they already were. They understood, you know, that, hey, most of the people who commit crime, we're just fucking idiots sometimes. We make some bad decisions. I perpetrated it. I certainly premeditated it. I guess I'm a little bit worse than most people. But most people who are out there committing crime, it's simply a bad choice. They've got some cognitive dissonance going on, and they think that committing crime is the only path that they've got. Maybe they've been raised by criminal parents or what have you, and they think that's the only thing that they can do, all right? Most of the law enforcement that I've met understand that. They don't hold a grudge. It's just business. Hey, we've got to make sure that you don't harm anybody else. And hey, there are consequences for your actions. You know, they're not judged. It's just their job to get you off the fucking street. Most prison guards that I've met, decent people. That being said, I have absolutely met assholes before. Absolutely have. Unfortunately, it goes back to this whole thing of, if we are someone's peers or someone is a peer of us, it goes back to this whole thing of remaining silent, of not speaking out, of not acting, of not doing the right goddamn thing because we're scared of losing a friend, angering somebody, being the sole person that speaks up and being called out because of whatever that is. We've got to get past that. We do. We are a better people than that. And I truly believe, I cannot not believe that we can't be better than we fucking are right now. These goons, these other guys that abuse power all the time, fuck you all, truly. On today's Art of Accountability segment, so here's the deal. This episode was supposed to be recorded last week about cryptocurrency, and I'm glad I put it off because my crypto bag exploded over the week, so I'm happy about that. We're going to talk about that bullshit too. Today, we're supposed to be recording Criminal Thoughts, and I thought today was going to be the Criminal Thoughts episode. I get in here. Shayna this morning, she emailed me. She's like, do you have any notes for today's show? And I looked at it, I was like, notes? Shit, we were supposed to record this last week. Dipshit Brett didn't realize. So I was like, I sent a message back. We'll just use the same notes we got. So then I signed on to record today's episode. And Shayna's like, Brett, you know, the notes we've got is for the Brett Johnson show. And I was like, oh, fuck me. And she also reminded me that today's segment on Art of Accountability was supposed to be about happiness. Now, we will talk about happiness. We absolutely will. Just to give you a preview of that, turns out it's up to you to be happy. Nobody can make you fucking happy. Nobody. And you can find happiness wherever the fuck you are. All right. So that gives you a nice little preview. We'll talk about that more later. Today's Art of Accountability comes into my problem today of not being properly prepared for the show. Oh, I'm prepared to talk about cryptocurrency. I was not prepared to talk about it, to do the Brett Johnson show, because I thought it was going to be Criminal Thoughts. So I was like, shit, fuck. So, of course, we bitch, moaned, and complained about whatever. I got the guy working downstairs, which I'm not happy about that guy. I'm not. I'm not happy about the goon squad and some of this other bullshit. I'm not a happy camper sometimes. I'm not. It makes me feel better to get this stuff out. Just saying. For example, I was on the talk today. I was on the talk. No, as much as I was wanting to look at things that jiggle, it was not that. I was flipping through the talk because I had invested in this token called HeHe, which I had sold out of, thankfully, before it crashed. And I mean, it fucking crashed. All right. So I was looking on TikTok for this Alex Costa's feed where he's going to talk about, you know, the token. And it's probably going to pop back up again. We'll see. Instead of it delivering to me Alex Costa, the World War Bitcoin guy, what it did was is it took me to a true crime story. 15 fucking segments of this thing where the guy's talking about the story. It's in Grand Junction, Colorado, and this 19-year-old kid, his mom, I guess she goes to put up his clothes in his bedroom, notices a plastic storage container in his closet, opens up the storage container. There's two white garbage bags in there, double bagged. She picks one up and notices that, shit, that feels like there's maggots in there. She takes it to the kitchen sink, opens it up, and lo and behold, is a human fucking head in the garbage bag. That piqued my interest because it starts with her on the 911 call explaining to the 911 guy, hey, my son has a human head and hands in his closet. Well, I got to finish that story. I got to know how that shit ends. And it goes right on. The cops show up. They're treating the kid nice. They obviously understand that he is bug fuck crazy. One cop's like, let's put you in the back seat of the car. Do you like air conditioning? The guy's like, yeah, I've always been hot blooded. I like air conditioning. Let's put you in there. It's going to be a little tight, but you'll be just fine. We just need to go in the house and look around for a bit. So they go in, heads in the fucking sink, everything else. And they take the kid to the precinct, and it's got the entire interview on TikTok in 15 fucking segments. So I'm watching it, and the kid is, I mean, he walks, his name's Brian. He walks through very proudly and very energetically and laughing about it as he's going. Everything he did, he finds this homeless guy and murders the guy, cuts him up, and he's reenacting it in front of the cops.
Wow.
And I just got through that shit about an hour before we recorded today. It really kind of fucked with me because as I'm watching, you know, I talk about crime a lot on both these shows, but as I'm watching it, I'm like, you know, I'm used to criminals who are motivated through profit. Is what I'm used to. I'm not used to seeing criminals who are motivated to commit acts of violence because it titillates them. And I don't, I'm having a hard time processing that. I know that's got nothing to do with today's show at all. I know that. I don't even know why I mentioned it, but I thought I would mention it. Today's show is about cryptocurrency. So where to begin about that bullshit? I don't even know. I will tell you this. I spent a, this has been March 2nd, I think was the date. So March 2nd or March 4th, I was reading on Reddit and they were talking about Shiba Inu. So Shiba Inu is a type of cryptocurrency that's a meme cryptocurrency that has made a lot of millionaires of a lot of people. And they were talking about how it was starting to skyrocket again. So these things come in waves typically. Once the initial coin comes out and is alive for a while, it tends to wave up and down. You see it with Bitcoin. You see it with Ethereum, with most tokens that are out there. So Shiba Inu was what they were talking about. And I got this wild hair in my ass. I was like, well, shit, I'll try it. So I got on Coinbase. I've got a Coinbase account. I got on Coinbase, bought $4,500 worth of Shiba Inu and sold it 3 days later for $8,045. Nice profit. I was extremely happy. I've dealt with cryptocurrency just in my work as, you know, countering fraud, as helping with the FBI or law enforcement agencies or companies that were interested in the type of information that was being sold through criminal channels about their companies. So that's been really all that I've really ever done with crypto. I've done some meme tokens in the past. That's never done anything. I've never been serious about it. So I decided that, hey, let's try. Let's see if we can actually make some money. See how we can actually do if we put some actual attention and focus on it for just a little bit. I know that Reddit, that the coin news sites, stuff like that, they, if you're getting your news from them, you are way behind the curve. So I started to follow. I've got some criminal associates that don't know that I'm not a criminal on Telegram channels. So I went over there and I started to view some of their investment groups. And I started to join some other Telegram channels as well and some Discord places as well. And they started to recommend some of these tokens. One of my criminal associates, who doesn't know that I'm not a criminal, he recommended this thing called Solar Swap, which was going, it was just about to premiere. So I was like, okay, we'll do that. So I took, I think I took maybe 4,000 and put into this token. I was very fortunate that it was timed very correctly. And that 4,000 over the space of a week turned into 34,000, which I cashed that token out. And then about the same time, Alex Costa's token pops up. Now, in between that, I had went into some other different tokens as well and was kind of trading at a horizontal level with it very gradually increasing. Alex Costa comes out with this token called HeHe. And I was fortunate enough that someone mentioned it on one of these Telegram channels. I aped into it, which means I bought into that and spent, I think, $3,500. That $3,500 over a space of a 4-day span went to $235,000. Okay. So, and I was very fortunate. Did I cash out at 235? I did not. I was able to cash out at about 185 because Alex, in his infinite fucking wisdom, decide. So here's the thing, and I'm going to go through what cryptocurrency is and how to trade and some of my thoughts on it and everything else. So I'm just telling the story to begin with. Alex Costa creates this token called HeHe. This is a Michael Jackson themed token. All right. So Alex creates this thing called through pump.fun, which for like 0.02 sols, which is another type of cryptocurrency, you can create any number of coins that you want to create. So he creates this. He calls it HeHe because he's going through his laptop and he says to himself, hey, whatever the first picture is that is on my laptop, I'll name the token after that. It was a picture of Michael Jackson. So he named it HeHe because Michael Jackson goes, HeHe. And that was it. So it goes. He didn't think that anyone was going to buy it. He did not plan on this token doing anything. He was just using it as an illustration of how easy it was to create tokens on the Solana blockchain. He mentions this token on one of his live feeds on TikTok. Someone buys it. It goes. I got in on it when it was a $700,000 market cap. It goes from $700,000 to a $50+ million market cap, which I cash out shortly after that. Now, in his infinite wisdom, what he does is, what you have to understand, especially this token called HeHe, the reason that it is valuable, the only fucking reason that it is valuable is because of Alex Costa. That's it. Because he is a highly respected and trusted crypto influencer. He absolutely fucking is. So when he says that, hey, I'm going to support this token, people believe that. All right. So on day four, what he does is someone in their fucking infinite wisdom, hey, Alex, you know, this thing's already sitting at a $40 million plus market cap. Before it goes any further, you may want to go see a lawyer to make sure your ass ain't fucking up nowhere. What he does is, up until that point, he had been plugging HeHe on all of his social media feeds. He had been banging that drum bigly, to quote Trump. He had been banging it bigly, and it had been skyrocketing. Because he gets scared of legal woes, he removes the TikTok videos mentioning HeHe. He removes mention of HeHe in his bio. End of story is that token goes from a $40+ million market cap to a $1.7 million market cap in under 2 hours. That was a fucking nightmare for anybody that was holding it at that point. Right now, it's a market cap of it's alternating between 8 to 10 million. Now, will it explode from there? Maybe. Maybe. Alex Costa is supposedly meeting an attorney today, and we're going to find out what the outcome of that is, if he's going to continue to plug this token. Now, that's one theory. Another theory is you, and truly, Alex has admitted that he owns 23% of that token. That wallet with 23% in is untouched. He has not sold anything out of that wallet at all. But there are some people who are saying, well, he may have owned multiple wallets. Absolutely true. He may have. All right. Regardless, there were some big wallets that sold out and it caused that market to collapse. Whether Alex was in on that or clued his friends in on that or what have you, who knows? I certainly don't. We'll have to wait and see how that actually pans out. I will probably, depending on what Mr. Costa says tomorrow about the outcome and what he intends to do with his token, I may buy back into that. Now, that's the story. We're going to backtrack. We're going to talk about some origins of cryptocurrency, how cryptocurrency works. I do not give financial advice. I will not be shilling any token. I'm not going to tell you to rush out and buy any fucking token at all because I ain't doing that. I'm not. Okay. I am not a financial expert. I have been very lucky. I have been very open about listening to people, and I'm fairly good about knowing when to purchase and when to get out of specific tokens. That does not make me some sort of financial guru, and I'm not going to pretend to be one. That being said, if there's money in it, maybe I will. I'm just saying, Dota. We're going to get in our Wayback Machine, and we're going to talk about the origins of today's cryptocurrency. And it starts with this guy named Shalom, back around 1978. He had this idea for an electronic currency, and I don't, it's not important. I don't care what he called it at that point in time. I don't care what kind of fledgling little bullshit was going on at that point in time either. 1970s, the idea for cryptocurrency comes into play, or the idea for electronic currency comes into play. We won't call it cryptocurrency yet. The idea for an electronic currency comes into play at that point in time. And people started to try to work on it and fantasize about it and implement it. And really, they kind of just didn't really do a whole hell of a lot with it. There is this thing called blockchain. All right. And blockchain is what makes crypto so innovative and nifty today. Blockchain is a distributed ledger. A lot of the ideas behind blockchain kind of meld with uTorrent. So if Brian didn't cut out that segment where I was talking about paint your wagon, uTorrent is where you download shit. All right. Like Song of the South, or if you're a fucking idiot like me, Paint Your Wagon, because I like the fucking movie. But if you're downloading it, you're downloading it not from one source. You're downloading it from potentially hundreds or thousands of different sources that may just have a small piece of that file. Okay, so it's distributed. That film, that file, game, song, whatever, is distributed across several different users called seeders. Okay, so blockchain is a ledger. Think of, you know, like you're keeping your books. It's a ledger that's distributed among every single holder of that specific cryptocurrency, whether it be Bitcoin or Ethereum, or that ledger is there, okay? And that ledger means that you can verify every single transaction that takes place in that cryptocurrency, okay? So with Bitcoin, for example, that ledger, that blockchain is public, which means that you can trace every single transaction to see which wallet it's going to, where it's coming from, back and forth throughout the history of Bitcoin. That's a very powerful thing. It's something that cannot be changed. It's immutable, all right? And that leads a lot of value to cryptocurrencies. Now, blockchain, here's the interesting thing. A guy named Nick Szabo, who a lot of people think that he is the creator of Bitcoin. He did a lot of research in the history of what you would call today blockchain, or a distributed ledger. And it turns out that distributed ledgers existed hundreds, thousands of years ago. There was an island at one point that everyone kept a ledger in their head of every transaction that was going on. And people's currency at that point in time were these big ass boulders, and they kept the boulders in a field. And instead of having to transport the boulder to pay somebody, people just kept that ledger in their head of the transactions. We've seen it on pieces of pottery of this type of distributed ledger from Sumerian times. We've seen it on pieces of pottery of things being kept track of with the exchange of currency. So this distributed ledger, which ultimately today is the blockchain, has been around for a while. Where does today's cryptocurrency start? Truth Social went live yesterday. Its market cap today, so that Truth Social is Donald Trump's version of Twitter. It only has like 500,000 users, but it's valued at $11 billion. I'm on Twitter. And I made the comment that what gave Bitcoin its initial use case was criminal activity, okay? And this guy, in his infinite wisdom, decided he was going to argue that point with me, which I carried on with him for a good 6 hours, back and forth. And I know that that's stupid to do that, but idiot Brett did that anyway. I'm called the original internet godfather, and this does matter. I'm called the original internet godfather because I was on the ground floor of today's financial cybercrime, of developing that, implementing that, refining it, figuring out how these scams would work, figuring out how marketplaces should work, establishing trust among criminals, things like that. Come to find out, when you are online committing some sort of criminal activity, and you need to buy something, spoofed phone calls, stolen credit card information, some sort of tool to commit a crime, whatever, you can't pay for that shit online with cash, okay? You probably shouldn't do it with PayPal because law enforcement can find your ass pretty easily like that. Same thing for Chime, same thing for Cash App, whatever that may be. Back then, at the origins of financial cybercrime, we're buying and selling credit card details or passport information or bank account details or login information, any number of criminal goods and services. How do you pay those criminal vendors, or how do you receive payment from someone that you're selling a service to? Back then, it started with Western Union. All right, we would do Western Union or MoneyGram, and we'd send each other money like that anonymously to pick up, okay? That's where it started. But as you continue to grow and Western Union and MoneyGram start to figure out, hey, these son of a bitches are committing crime with this money, and they start to shut that shit down, you then start to look at other avenues on how to get paid. And it's not, you can't just send a money wire to someone, an ACH, because they can track that bullshit. So you need ways to anonymously do that. So we started with MoneyGram, Western Union. Then it goes over into prepaid debit cards. So you can buy a prepaid debit card. You can take a MagStripe reader. You can scan the data strap on the back of the card and send that information to someone that you're trying to pay, okay? And then they can encode that track information on the back of a card on their end. You can load it on your end, and you can bounce back and forth like that. Good way to get paid. But that's very cumbersome. And you can't do a whole shit ton of money on that, because a lot of the times those daily deposit limits back then were like $1,500, $2,500, something like that. So it's very difficult to move money in mass quantities. And that becomes very important if you are a kingpin in cybercrime and you need to move massive amounts of fucking money. Lo and behold, back then, we had two precursors of today's cryptocurrency. And the first one is called e-gold. All right. So e-gold was created by this doctor in the Cayman Islands. And it absolutely is cryptocurrency minus the blockchain. So what he did was he came up with this thing called e-gold. He tied it to the value of physical gold and said, hey, what we'll do is, you know, I'll sell so many resellers this much e-gold, and then they can sell it to you. It's in your e-gold wallet. We partner with banks, we partner with coin shops, all these other people who you can then cash that e-gold out for US dollars. I have said this before, and I will say this again. If you have a technology where the users can remain anonymous, the first adoptees are criminals. Okay? If you have a technology where the users can launder money somewhat anonymously, the first adoptees are criminals. So guess who the main users of e-gold were? Criminals. Not just financial cyber criminals, but drug traffickers, CP people, all you name the crime, they flocked to e-gold. All right? The feds, the FBI, Secret Service, all those people, they got really pissed off because this is a brand new game all of a sudden. All of a sudden, it's not like it used to be. You can go down to the bank, the federal officers could go down to the bank and say, hey, where did this money come from? And they could trace it pretty quickly, find out where, how it's being laundered, everything else. Well, e-gold, these electronic currencies, at that point, they changed the game because now, back then, you didn't have KYC, know your customer. Anyone could open up an account. And because of that, you could open it up in any number of fictitious names, have your money deposited, commit whatever crime you want to, sell the criminal goods and services and get money for that, and then send that money to some bank that's not in the United States that doesn't have know your customer either, and cash out and pocket money. And by God, that's exactly what we did. I paid for cars like that, paid for house, everything else like that. All right. Come to find out, the problem, though, is that the person who created e-gold, law enforcement knew exactly who that sumbitch was. So what happens? They indict his ass for conspiracy, for money laundering, everything else. All of those crimes that were committed using your little electronic currency, we are going to charge your little fucking ass for that. The way that case was actually disposed of, the guy didn't really get much time at all. I think he may have got like 6 months total. He was looking at life in prison, but they bargained it down because no one really knew how to handle that case at that point. Now, why am I talking about e-gold? I'm talking about e-gold because of this guy named Peter Thiel. Peter Thiel, I think it's either Thiel or Thiel. I say Thiel, but he's a billionaire out in California. Thiel. Peter Thiel. He's this big billionaire. I think he had some shit to do with Cisco, everything else, but he was also an investor in e-gold and some of these other currencies that are around today. All right. Peter Thiel had a theory. His theory was, and he has that theory today, his theory was whoever went on to create Bitcoin was at a party on the Cayman Islands, an e-gold party, where they're talking about all the problems that e-gold had because the founder of e-gold was not anonymous. Now, that's an important fucking thing right there. Because what happens is e-gold gets shut down. After e-gold gets shut down, another e-gold clone pops up called Liberty Reserve. And Liberty Reserve lasts longer. It ends much the same way that e-gold ends. Feds get pissed off. I think that they never caught the guy who started up Liberty Reserve. They know him. He's on a U.S. Most Wanted list this day. They never caught him. He's never faced those charges yet. But those two precursors frame today's cryptocurrency. If you believe, and I do, if you believe the theory of Peter Thiel, which says that, hey, whoever started Bitcoin, which is the genesis of all cryptocurrency today, whoever started Bitcoin was on that island, saw what happened to e-gold, and learned the lesson of, hey, if you're going to do this shit, you need to be anonymous or you're going to go to jail for a long fucking time. We have this guy, pseudonym by the name of Satoshi Nakamoto. 2009, he releases this white paper which talks about cryptocurrency, this token called Bitcoin. So cryptocurrency, backing up for a second, what is cryptocurrency? Cryptocurrency is an online token that back then is, you get the token by solving or verifying an extremely complicated mathematical equation. Okay, extremely complicated. And when I say extremely complicated, so complicated that today it takes thousands of computers, hours upon hours, to solve and verify the equation. The equation is then verified through the blockchain. It takes hours upon hours and thousands of computers and tons of electricity to do these types of equations. When that equation is solved, at that point, a Bitcoin is generated. Okay? That's what we're talking about. So think of it like gold. Gold, physical gold, is valuable not because of jewelry, but because of the amount of effort that it takes to mine that gold, to get it out of the ground. Now, it does have utility other than jewelry. People use it in electronics, things like that. But it's valuable because of the amount of effort that it takes to get to extract that gold. Bitcoin is valuable because of the amount of effort that it takes to generate that token. Okay? So that is what we're talking about. Now, as time goes on, we see that that changes, that there are tokens today that it doesn't take effort to generate the token, that it's done for you, okay? And you see these pre-sales of tokens, you see point of stake, proof of work, you see different types of tokens that are out there. Cryptocurrency today, other than a few tokens like Bitcoin, tokens are valuable because they're agreed upon to be valuable by the opinions of others, okay? Bitcoin is much the same in that respect. Now, that being said, Bitcoin has absolutely gained legitimacy, and Bitcoin is not going a fucking place today. You've got ETFs with it and everything else that's going on today, so it absolutely is solidified. Back in 2009, it was not. It was not. Back in 2009, it was pretty much valueless. When it actually starts to come into play, no one wanted to use it. There's a story that you can Google, that you can pull up on Google, where this guy pays 10,000 bitcoins for a couple of pizzas. 10,000. Today, that would be worth a few billion dollars. Back then, it was worth maybe two pizzas. Yes, Bitcoin was being used before Ross Ulbricht comes into play with Silk Road. It absolutely was. But it had not found its fucking purpose. It hadn't. People were dabbling with it. People were, you know, exchanging it to a degree. WikiLeaks, because Visa started, you know, banned them. WikiLeaks was accepting Bitcoin donations, which were pretty much valueless at that point in time. There were a couple of precursors of Silk Road that had started to accept Bitcoin as well for their payments. It wasn't until Ross Ulbricht, though. I'm the original internet godfather. Ross Ulbricht, you can call him the godfather of the dark web. He creates Silk Road. Silk Road was a criminal marketplace, which most of the traffic was drug-related traffic. You did have fraud-related items there, but most of the traffic on Silk Road was drug-related. And Ross Ulbricht thought that he could change the world with Bitcoin. He truly did. He thought that Bitcoin was going to revolutionize the world. It was going to change the payment industry, was going to get rid of the Federal Reserve, all this other bullshit that was going on. And he even says that at one point. He says that he believes that what he's doing will get rid of slavery, will cause everything to be equal across the board. Of course, he decided to implement that by becoming a drug trafficker, which is exactly what the fucking guy was. And then he decides he's going to hire hitmen to kill some of the people that were, you know, opposing him. So that's Ross Ulbricht. He ends up with not one, but two life sentences plus 40 years in prison. Still in prison. Here's the thing. Any Ross Ulbricht people out there that are fans, that sumbitch is going to die in fucking prison. Period. End of story. Get the fuck over it. Anyway, what Ross does, Silk Road gained a lot of traction because Ross says to himself, you know, these guys have to have some way to pay themselves. And the way that they're going to pay themselves is through not U.S. dollars, not through prepaid debit cards, not through anything else but Bitcoin. Now, back then, people thought that Bitcoin was pretty anonymous. Most people thought that, law enforcement included. No one really understood it. So Ross, the only payment form that he accepted on the site, Silk Road, was Bitcoin. That, I don't give a damn what anybody else says, that gives Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, that gives it its initial mass adopted use case. The reason today that Bitcoin is going off at $70,000 is not because some guy bought two pizzas for 10,000 Bitcoins. No, it's not. It's going off at 70K today because way back in the day, Ross Ulbricht decided Bitcoin was going to be the payment instrument that he was going to use. And today, if you're on a criminal marketplace on the dark web, guess what? It's cryptocurrency, period. It may not be Bitcoin anymore because today people realize that Bitcoin's not anonymous. It's Monero, it's Zcash, it's some sort of privacy token. But Bitcoin is absolutely still in play with criminal environments. In fact, any crime that you're committing, if you're doing ransomware, yeah, you may take payment in Monero, but you're going to cash that shit out to Bitcoin because that's where the main profit is. That's the most stable, the most growing token that's out there. Okay, so now Bitcoin has gained legitimacy. All right, it has. No one's really buying a whole lot of shit with Bitcoin. And those stores that you see that pop up back a few years ago when Microsoft decided they were going to accept Bitcoin, Microsoft payments for Bitcoin, maybe $300 a month, maybe $300 a month total. No one buys shit with cryptocurrency. They save it. They trade it like shares today. They launder money with it. They invest and hope that it's going to skyrocket. And by God, it is. Okay, so that's what's going on now. That is what gives crypto its use case. It starts with Bitcoin. As people start to understand Bitcoin, you get people like Vitaly Buterin or whatever his damn name is over at Ether. All right, so he creates the Ethereum blockchain. And you get all these other blockchains that grow on from there. You got the Solana blockchain. You got the Base blockchain, which is part of Coinbase. You got all these other chains that are out there today. You got the Shiba Inu chain. You've got over 25,000 different types of cryptocurrencies that are around today. Some of them are on existing blockchains like Ethereum. You can create any number of tokens that you want to on Ethereum. You can create any number of tokens that you want to on Solana chain. That's the big player right now. You can do all kinds of things like that. Okay. So that is just kind of a history lesson when we're talking about cryptocurrency. It absolutely 100% gets its start. All right, it's mass start, it's adoption start with criminal activity. Do not let anyone tell you different, because what goes on is as things become more legitimate, you get a whole shit ton of people, I don't care what the item is, you get a whole shit ton of people that they don't like the criminal beginnings, like Vegas, for example. No one, you know, all these casinos, well, we don't want to talk about, you know, how Bugsy back in the day started it, and it was all about crime and the mafia and a place to launder money and party and do all this other bullshit. We don't want to do that. We want to legitimize things, and we want to whitewash things as time goes on. That's what's going on today with cryptocurrency. People don't want to recognize and acknowledge its criminal beginnings. But by God, they're there. Much like Vegas, they're there. You don't have to turn over too many rocks to see it. As a matter of fact, all the rug pulls, all the scams, all the shit that goes on in the cryptocurrency vertical has its beginnings way back there with Silk Road and the crime that takes place there. Okay? That's what's going on. That's why you have so many scams on there, because it has its origins in crime to begin with. Now that we've laid that, how on earth, so somebody reads an article, how on earth do we get involved and start trading crypto? Here's the thing. First, you got to understand, yes, there's a lot of legitimate action that goes on, but if you are the person that you've never traded before, you just read that, you know, there's a lot of money being made and you're not paying attention to all the money that's being lost, you may get it in your head that you can get in there and start doing some of that shit. If you don't understand that there are predators in the water, both legal and illegal, you are going to lose your ass. So say, for example, like I bought some of that HeHe token, like I talked at the top of the show, bought some of that HeHe token. Now, I only had like 4 million of the tokens. There were a billion of them that were available. Of the billion that were available, Alex Costa, whatever you can call his name, he owned 23% of the overall supply of those tokens. That is indicative of every single cryptocurrency that's out there. They're called whales. Whales own a majority of the tokens. And when you have one player or a group of players that own the mass majority of those tokens, guess what? They can manipulate the price however the hell they want to manipulate the price. All right. So they can cause it to crash. They can cause it to skyrocket. They can play back and forth with it. And you see this all the fucking time. All right. The lesson to learn here is that you are not a whale and you are at the whims of these people who own the mass majority of tokens that are out there. Okay. That's what you got to remember. Because if you don't know that, if you don't realize that, and if you don't pay attention to that, you are going to lose your ass on it, okay? You see this all the time. You go on Reddit, you'll see people on whatever the subreddit is talking about whatever token that's out there. You'll hear people that will scream, hold, 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 don't sell, all right? You cannot think like that. You cannot think like that because they're screaming hold, hold, hold so that you're holding so that the price increases so that they can sell what little tokens they've got and create profit while your ass is losing out. That's the way this game is played. This is not a game of partnership. This is not a game of helping each other. This is a game of predator prey. This is typically a game of pump and dump. I don't really care what the token is. You're looking at the token to increase. It increases to an amount. You sell, it dumps. Maybe you come back in and you buy at the bottom, get it pumped up again, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You see this even today with Bitcoin. Bitcoin is fluctuating. People, honestly, they didn't know whether the damn thing was going to hit 70,000 or 45,000 to begin with, and it could easily do either friggin' one, okay? So the hope is that you get it as the whales are making sure the price is going up before they decide to sell and it bottoms out and you lose the money that's in your bag. That's what happens. So it starts out, you've got two different types of exchanges. You've got the cult of crypto, as I like to call them, that still believe to this day that cryptocurrency is going to change the world. I would caution anybody out there to not listen to any of the cult members, to not become a cult member. All right. It is not going to change the world. It's not. It used to be talked as a currency. Today, it's talked as more of a stock. I've got this many shares of this is the way it's talked. People understand that, hey, we're holding it in the hopes that it increases to a certain amount so that we can cash it out into what? Into U.S. dollars or whatever currency that country has that you're living in at that point in time. The idea that it's going to revolutionize the world, that's pretty much, that ship has sailed long ago. These days, we're talking about profit. That's what you need to understand when you're talking about getting involved in cryptocurrency. You're not changing the world. We're talking about profit, okay? Profit is wherever profit may be. In a meme coin, if you want to call it a shit coin, in a blue chip coin like Bitcoin, Ethereum, what have you. Profit is wherever profit may be. You take it wherever it is. You've got two different types of exchanges. You've got the DeFi exchange and you've got the centralized exchange. So when I talk about centralized exchanges, you're going to sign up for these. You absolutely are. If you're looking at buying and exchanging cryptocurrency and trying to make money, you're going to sign on for both the DeFi, the DEXs, and the CEXs the centralized exchanges. Okay, so centralized exchanges are those who also deal in U.S. dollars. Okay, so Coinbase, Binance, KuCoin, who recently just got investigated, Crypto.com, these are centralized exchanges, meaning that the coins are there and you can use U.S. dollars, wire your money in there, U.S. dollars to exchange, buy, resell tokens, cash out to U.S. dollars, things like that. That's different than a DeFi type of exchange where you don't have U.S. dollars. You don't. You've got the tokens that are there and you're swapping the tokens in and out for each other and gaining value like that. Meaning that if you're using that DeFi exchange and you've got a shitload of a token, you're not going to get U.S. dollars through that DeFi exchange. You're going to have to take those tokens and transfer them over to a centralized exchange and then swap them for U.S. dollars like that. Hence the term, you have this term that's called, this phrase, crypto rich, cash poor. You can have a shit ton of cryptocurrency, several million dollars. But if you can't swap that into U.S. dollars, what good are you? That becomes a problem, a huge problem, because it turns out that a lot of these centralized exchanges, whether it be Robinhood, Coinbase, Binance, what have you, a lot of these centralized exchanges, let's just say that they like to fuck around a little bit. When things are going bad, it turns out that these exchanges, they kind of work all right, that they will let you withdraw money. They will let you buy tokens or swap tokens or anything else like that. But it also turns out that oftentimes when a token is exploding, so when that token gains 17,000% and your $1,000 turns into $235,000, when that happens, and sometimes it does, when that happens, and then you try to sell that token for U.S. dollars at that point in time, a lot of the times, these centralized exchanges have technical difficulties. Yeah. And that's very common, very common. That they have technical difficulties until, you know, 17,000, where you're looking at a profit of 235,000, drops down to, what the fuck, 130? And you're able maybe to cash out at that point in time, because we have very little regulation in the crypto industry. And because these companies like Coinbase is notorious for that, Binance is notorious for that, other exchanges are as well, they're very good about making sure that difficulties arise when you're trying to get money out of them. On the Coinbase Reddit today, you've got tons of different complaints of people who are trying to cash out money. They've made money in the crypto markets, and now they're trying to withdraw through Coinbase. And what's Coinbase doing? Well, we need to verify your identity. And they sit you off to a chat bot where every 48 hours, they request more verification for identity, and they never let you cash out. And how long does that take? Months, sometimes. Months. People have had their accounts frozen. I've noticed one guy that's 2 years, trying to cash out just a few thousand dollars because Coinbase is fucking with him. This is something that you need to be advised of, all right? Understand that even though you may potentially make a shit ton of money trading cryptocurrency, you may be crypto rich and very, very cash poor, because the avenues to turn it into U.S. dollars, sometimes those dry up pretty quickly because those exchanges do not want to lose that money. And because of the lack of regulation, they can do that bullshit and then cry technical difficulties. So understand that. So you're going to sign on to both of these types of exchanges. You need to understand, as I said before, that there are predators in these waters, both legal predators and illegal predators. It's nothing. There's nothing wrong for this guy owning 23% of a token. And there's nothing illegal about him bouncing back and forth, manipulating the price, causing it to crash, causing it to grow, causing it to crash, causing it to grow. The only thing you're experiencing is, hey, you're not making any fucking money. And he is. So you need to understand the predator environment, because you are either going to be predator or prey. There is no
middle ground there. So you need to understand that and act accordingly. Because there are predators there, and because those predators are far better at this than you are, or I am, or anybody else is, because of that, it's important that you don't act alone. Now, I'm not saying partner. You don't want to partner with people, because it's every man for himself at the end of the day. But it's important that you find news or a group of individuals that you can trust that talk about the different types of tokens, their different experiences, what they've found that's worked for them, everything else. Now, Reddit has people like that. Reddit also has the Cult of Crypto. The problem with Reddit or the coin news sites is that the news is far too old for you to really make any money at that point in time. So you need to find something on Telegram, something on Discord. You need to try to get up that chain of news as much as you possibly can, okay? When you find a group like that, what I would do is, you know, there are, Alex Costa's got some groups, a guy named Rex, he's got some groups on Telegram as well. What I would do is I would join those groups and I wouldn't buy anything. I would just join those groups and I would just read every single thing they're talking about and learn the dynamics of those groups. Learn what they're chattering about. Watch and follow these people about their advice to see what token they're talking about, what they're saying they're buying, and then see what that token is doing. Do these people know what they are talking about? Because you don't want to listen to some son of a bitch that has no clue what the hell he's talking about. So you want to make sure they know what they're talking about. To do that, you have to understand the dynamics of those groups. You have to know who the players are. You don't have partners because they're talking about those tokens because they're hoping that you're going to buy into them and that will increase their bag, their value as well. Okay, so that's what they're hoping for. These groups exist for that reason. The reason Alex Costa, the reason Rex talks about tokens is because he has a group of people, and that gives him buying power. So when he says this token is going to do that, he knows that his group is going to buy into that token, and that token's value is going to go up. Now, is he going to hold that token until, you know, everyone cashes out? No, he's not. He's going to take his profit. And he's not going to tell everybody else that he's selling. He's not. Because if he tells everyone else he's selling, what's going to happen? They're going to sell. He's not going to be able to profit as much. Understand the game that's being played. But absolutely derive value from those groups. They will tell you other places to go. And then you can start getting more news from that point. It's important to trust who you're listening to. Know that who you're listening to knows what they're talking about. But also to do your own research. You just cannot take someone's word for something in this type of industry, in this type of game. You can't do that. It's important that you do your own research. So you go to places like Dex Tools. You go to Dex Scanner, I think is the other one. You look at CoinGecko at the new coins that are out, everything else that's going on at that point. And you do your research about the token. Now, you're going to hear a lot of people talk about the utility of a token, talk about the technology of a token. I'm going to tell you this, okay? Blockchain is outstanding technology. There's a lot of these tokens that have a lot of good tech, a lot of innovation around them. That is bullshit, even though it's got that. What gives value in cryptocurrency are people's opinions. That's it. You are not buying technology. You are not buying innovation. You are not buying utility. You are buying people's opinions. That's what a lot of people in this don't understand. They're looking at the utility. They're looking at the technology. No. The only thing that matters is people's opinions. If enough people decide that, hey, I like this enough for whatever reason. If enough people decide that, that token's value is going to go up. If enough people say, no, I don't give a shit what they're saying, that token's not going to go anywhere. It's going to decline. It's going to bottom out. It's going to go to zero. You're not going to make any money. So it becomes an opinion game. That's what matters. That is exactly why you see all these meme tokens that are popping up. Hee hee, for example, that's a meme token. Shiba Inu, that's a meme token. Dogecoin, meme token. All these are memes. That's it. It has no intrinsic value whatsoever. It's just people's opinions that are driving that price up. And then later on, maybe the development team tries to make some utility out of that token, understanding that probably not. You can cry utility as much as you want to, but one thing you need to understand, of those 25,000 plus tokens that are around today, in 2 years, 95% of them will not be around. They will be completely valueless. So all those big bags of currency that you're holding right now, in 2 years, those bags are going to be worth fucking zero. That's the game. That's what you need to understand. That's the way this thing actually works. So it's important to understand that when I say investment in crypto, I'm liking it more to gambling. But much like gambling, you can be better informed than a lot of the other gamblers that are out there. There's a difference between playing blackjack and playing the slot machines, or playing Texas Hold'em versus the slots. There's a big difference in that. One is more informed and educated than the other. One is a game of skill, even though it's still gambling. Crypto can be a lot like that, as long as you understand the way this thing is actually played. For example, today, I mentioned before, we've got tons of different blockchains that are out there. The two big players historically have been Bitcoin and Ethereum. We've got a new kid on the block right now. That new kid is called Solana, all right? Brand new blockchain that's out, and that's where a lot of traffic is going now. As a matter of fact, the traffic that's on Solana has increased over top of Ethereum now. The reason that Solana is so popular is because it is extremely cheap to create tokens on that chain. On Ethereum, you have to pay what's called a gas fee. If you're exchanging tokens, you have to pay so much Ethereum to do that. If you're buying or selling, you have to pay so much Ethereum to do that. On Solana, it's extremely cheap. It's so cheap that that's where most of these games are played these days, especially the meme game, all right? So I'm going to tell you this, and some people may not like me saying that, but meme coins are absolutely ruling this bull run. Okay? Not utility, not tech, meme coins, period. All right? You're looking at where you're going to make money. Potentially, if you're looking at those gambles, it's going to be in memes. If you're looking for that 14,000% increase like Bonk did just a few weeks ago, it's a meme token. Book of Meme, B-O-M-E, for example, it raises, I think, 12,000% in just a few days. The Hee Hee token went from a market cap of 6K up to 50 million in 4 days. All right, shot my 3,500 to 235K is what it shot. That's what you're looking at. Now, not everyone can do that. And the reason not everyone can do that is your emotions start to fuck with you. That's why. All right. So it's very easy to sit down with pen and paper and no money on the line and get into a token and get out of a token as it's profitable. When you put money on the line, you're looking at how that $1,000 has increased to maybe $30,000. And you're sitting there going, well, I'll just let it ride a while longer because it's continuing to grow. And then all of a sudden, it starts to drop. And that 30 turns into 22. Well, you're looking at the 22. All of a sudden, you're like, well, it'll bounce back up. It'll bounce back up. Then the 22 turns to 17. It'll bounce back up. It'll bounce back up. Then it turns to 12, then to 5, then to $3. All right? Your emotions play with you. It becomes very important to be objective with this all of the time. It becomes very important to not put any more money into this than you are willing to lose all of. It's not an investment. This is more gambling, okay? But you can be more informed than the other gamblers that are there, all right? And you do that by getting higher up that news food chain that I spoke about. You're going to sign on for, as I said, you're going to sign on for centralized exchanges like Coinbase, Binance, KuCoin, Crypto. Bitcoin.com. You're going to sign on for those. You're going to sign on for DeFi exchanges, whether that be PancakeSwap, SushiSwap, Uniswap, ChainSwap is out right now. There's different DeFi exchanges that allow you to swap between tokens like that. Okay. You have these things called stable coins, USDC, USDT, Tether, things like that. I had a gentleman that actually he was talking about getting into crypto the other day, and I've not had a chance to have that talk with him yet. I told him, I was like, hey, get up with me. I'll walk you through this stuff. For example, I'm on I do a lot of exchanging on the Solana blockchain. Okay, a Solana token right now is going for, I think, $190 a piece. All right, so it's increased, I think, like 3% today. So if I'm holding, say, $10,000 in SOL tokens, and I anticipate those tokens, instead of being at $190 a piece, I anticipate those tokens dropping down to, say, $150 a piece. And all of a sudden, my $10,000 is going to be at $7,500. I don't want to lose that value. Instead of cashing out into US dollars, what I can do is I can exchange those SOL tokens for a stable coin, like Tether, like USDC, something like that. Those are called stable coins, and they serve a very good purpose. So if I know that this token is going to go down or anticipate it, I can exchange all of those tokens, throw them over into a stable coin where the value does not change. One Tether, one USDT is valued at one US dollar. And it's going to stay like that. So it's stable. It allows me to switch in and out of tokens, of currencies, and have a safe place, a safe harbor, in order to keep my funds that I can then bounce back into tokens as I need to at that point in time. That's really what stable tokens are primarily there for. They're very stable. They allow you to swap in and out without having to constantly cash in and out of tokens all the time. I've mentioned this before. Cryptocurrency is a highly unregulated industry. Okay? Because of that, you have a lot of unscrupulous players. I mentioned stablecoins a second ago. Tether, even though, yeah, it's a stable token, I don't think that your money's going to go anywhere at all in Tether right now. I think that one of these days, I think it's going to belly up, but not right now. Tether and other stable coins are very good about not disclosing how much liquidity they actually have and what composes that liquidity as well. So you sometimes get, and we had a stable coin fiasco last year where a stable coin goes belly up because it didn't have the amount of liquidity that the investors thought that it had. A bank run basically is what happened. And it went belly up. That absolutely is a danger that you see commonly, not only in stable coins, but in crypto as a whole. So you will have a token, and maybe that token will have a market cap. You know, all the tokens in that entirety is valued at, say, $100 million. So you're thinking, well, shit, if I own 10% of that, I have $10 million and I can sell my tokens and get my $10 million. Well, not necessarily, because you have to look at the liquidity of that specific token. So while it may have a market cap of $100 million, maybe liquidity wise, it's very low on. It may only have a liquidity of a few million dollars. Guess what? You can't get all of your money out of it. This is important stuff to realize all of a sudden. It becomes, you need to pay attention to stuff like that. This is this whole research thing, all right, that I'm talking about. You have to know what you're getting into. You can't just be one of these cats on Robinhood that sees that, hey, you know, Dogecoin's going from 7 cents to 70 cents. Well, yeah, sometimes that will work out for you, and sometimes you can profit by that, but sometimes you can't. So you need to be educated on this. Do not go into this just on word of mouth and someone telling you that you're going to make a lot of money. Most people who are in cryptocurrency these days, you're not going to make any money. Understand that. that game is over. All right. If you're going to make money, you have to rely on other people. You have to rely on word of mouth. You have to be able to trust that word of mouth, and you have to be educated and do your own research. And you have to understand, I was very lucky over the past month. Most people are not going to be like that. You're not going to get rich on one token. You're going to have to learn when to take your profits, take them, be happy with them, go on. You're going to have to learn that when a token is losing value, you don't ride it out to zero. You have to be willing to get out of that token at that loss. If you can't do that, this is not something that you want to be involved with at all, at all. If you can't walk away knowing that you've lost every single penny that you've put into that, this is not something that you want to be involved with at all. All right. This is cryptocurrency as we're talking about today. I don't know what else to talk about right now. We're going to be doing some more crypto episodes simply because I've avoided it since I got out of prison. The reason that I avoided it is because of those criminal beginnings of cryptocurrency. It was kind of a trigger. That's the way I viewed it. It was kind of a trigger for me. I didn't want it to do anything with crypto other than, you know, like law enforcement, working with companies, stuff like that. I understand it, but I didn't want to get involved with that because I viewed it as a trigger. Well, I'm kind of past that bullshit right now. I'm looking and trying to make some profit and quit all this bullshit that I'm doing by the time I turn 60, which is not too many more years from now. We're going to talk more about cryptocurrency on Criminal Thoughts and on the Brett Johnson Show. It's going to become something that's kind of regular as we're talking about. We're in the midst of a bull run right now, which means that a lot of tokens don't really give a shit what they are. A lot of tokens are going up in value. Bull runs only tend to last a few months, and at which point we have a bear run, which the market turns cold, which at that point, most tokens are just kind of sitting there steady or they're declining in value and going out of business and everything else at that point. Understand when you're in a bull run, understand when the bear market comes that things are different. That does not mean you can't make money. You can, but it changes. All right. My name is Brett Johnson. This is the Brett Johnson Show. This is the first time I've really spoken about cryptocurrency to any length at all on any podcast that I've ever done. And I hope that people have gained value with this. The tidbits, the takeaways from this, don't put any more money in than what you're willing to lose. Understand that it's a pump and dump game. Understand that you are not going to get rich on one token. Understand you cannot do this yourself, that you have to listen to other people. Trust those people that you're listening to. You have to do your own research. You have to understand that what you're buying ultimately are people's opinions. That's it. You're buying someone's opinion. If you can do all that, if you can be objective enough to be able to get in and get out when you need to, you might fare all right. All right. My name is Brett Johnson. This is the Brett Johnson Show. I hope that I've gave some value today. We will continue to do this, talk about this, and get better at talking about this as we bring in some more guests and talk about some different chains and some tokens. I'm not going to shill anything. I'm not going to give you investment advice. I'm not going to do any bullshit like that. We're simply going to talk about the way things are going, some of the scams that are going around. Please, for God's sakes, this is something that you can lose your ass on. This is something that you can really get victimized on. I cannot overstate that enough. You can really get taken advantage in crypto. All right. Please understand that. Please, God, understand that. Okay. You start to chase things. People will take advantage of you. People will say that, you join my pool, send me money, share your wallet address. They'll send you fake links that will drain your wallets out. They'll do all this other stuff. And that's something I want to touch on too. So you've got hot wallets, you've got cold wallets. All right. Not all wallets are the same that hold your cryptocurrency. They're not all the same. You're going to use probably a variety of these. If you have money that's important to you, tokens that are important to you. A hot wallet is something that's accessible through the internet. Okay. It's something that can be compromised and somebody can drain it out. They can send you a link. They can send you a fake token that looks like you've profited or you've got a few million of these tokens and you're like, oh, I'll click on that. When you click on it, you lose all of the money that you've got in your wallet. So it becomes important to use something like Ledger or Cold Wallet that's not connected online, that those tokens are housed. All right. Now, that being said, you're going to have some that's in a hot wallet, too, because you're going to be changing and swapping back and forth between tokens at the same time. All right. But use a combination. Make sure you're secure. Please, please be careful. Please be careful. All right. My name is Brett Johnson. And when I close this out today, I really mean this when we're talking about cryptocurrency. Stay safe out there. Stay secure out there. People are looking to take advantage of you. People are looking to profit by victimizing you. Stay safe, stay secure, stay vigilant. It's important to always be aware of your environment, to not respond to those direct messages, to not click on those links. If a token shows up in your wallet just mysteriously, to not click on that token. It's not going to benefit you, all right? Stay safe, stay secure, stay vigilant. At the end of the day, just do the right damn thing. My name is Brett Johnson. We're going to talk about this more in the future. I want to thank everyone for taking the time to tune in. Until next time.